His altars smoked with the proof, offerings from big-bellied mothers and happy byblows. "It is marriage," she said to him, "or nothing. And if it is marriage, be sure. You may have what girls you like in the field, but you will bring none home, for only I will hold sway in your halls." Conditions. Constrainment. These were novelties to my father, and gods love nothing more than novelty. "A bargain," he said, and gave her a necklace to seal it, one of his own making, strung with beads of rarest amber. Later, when I was born, he gave her a second strand, and another for each of my three siblings. I do not know which she treasured more, the luminous beads themselves or the envy of her sisters when she wore them. I think she would have gone right on collecting them into eternity until they hung from her neck, like a yoke on an ox, if the high gods had not stopped her. By then they had learned what the four of us were. "You may have other children," they told her, "only not with him." But other husbands did not give amber beads. It was the only time I ever saw her weep. At my birth, an aunt, I will spare you her name because my tale is full of aunts, washed and wrapped me. Another tended to my mother, painting the red back on her lips, brushing her hair with ivory combs. A third went to the door to admit my father. "A girl," my mother said to him, wrinkling her nose. But my father did not mind his daughters, who were sweet-tempered and golden as the first press of olives. Men and gods paid dearly for the chance to breed from their blood, and my father's treasury was said to rival that of the king of the gods himself. He placed his hand on my head in blessing. "She will make a fair match," he said. "How fair?" my mother wanted to know. This might be consolation if I could be traded for something better. My father considered, fingering the wisps of my hair, examining my eyes and the cut of my cheeks. "A prince, I think." "A prince?" my mother said. "You do not mean a mortal." The revulsion was plain on her face. Once when I was young, I asked what mortals looked like. My father said, "You may say they are shaped like us, but only as the worm is shaped like the whale." My mother had been simpler, like savage bags of rotten flesh. "Surely she will marry a son of Zeus," my mother insisted. She had already begun imagining herself at feasts upon Olympus, sitting at Queen Hera's right hand. "No, her hair is streaked like a lynx, and her chin. There is a sharpness to it that is less than pleasing." My mother did not argue further. Like everyone, she knew the stories of Helios's temper when he was crossed. "However gold he shines, do not forget his fire." She stood. Her belly was gone, her waist re-knitted, her cheeks fresh and virgin rosy. All our kind recover quickly, but she was faster still. One of the daughters of Oceanus, who shoot their babes like roe. "Come," she said. "Let us make a better one." I grew quickly. My infancy was the work of hours, my toddlerhood a few moments beyond that. An aunt stayed on, hoping to curry favor with my mother, and named me Hawk, Circe, for my yellow eyes and the strange, thin sound of my crying. But when she realized that my mother no more noticed her service than the ground at her feet, she vanished. "Mother," I said, "aunt is gone." My mother didn't answer. My father had already departed for his chariot in the sky, and she was winding her hair with flowers, preparing to leave through the secret ways of water, to join her sisters on their grassy riverbanks. I might have followed, but then I would have had to sit all day at my aunt's feet while they gossiped of things I did not care for and could not understand. So I stayed. My father's halls were dark and silent. His palace was a neighbor to Oceanus's, buried in the earth's rock, and its walls were made of polished obsidian. Why not? They could have been anything in the world. Blood-red marble from Egypt or balsam from Araby. My father had only to wish it so. But he liked the way the obsidian reflected his light, the way its slick surfaces caught fire as he passed. Of course, he did not consider how black it would be when he was gone. My father has never been able to imagine the world without himself in it. I could do what I liked at those times, light a torch and run to see the dark flames follow me, lie on the smooth earth floor and wear small holes in its surface with my fingers.